Three new seasons of Survivor are available for pre-order on DVD on Amazon.com. Survivor Karamoan, Survivor Blood vs. Water, and Survivor Kagiyan are available. So if you want to snatch those up faster than Mark the Chicken with a grub, you could do it at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob is a Podcast when you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robisawebsite.com/Amazon. Or for our friends in Canada, robswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here. Exit interview time on the podcast today. We're going to be talking to somebody that I did not expect to be talking to today. That would be Sarge Kyle Jason on the podcast. And he was the person who ends up getting voted out. I thought it was going to be Ty. Looked like it was going to be maybe Michelle. But yeah, ultimately, it's Jason who gets voted out, and we will talk with him. A lot of drama from Jason this season, so a lot of different things to ask him about on the exit interview. Of course, last night, Stephen Fishback and I, or should I say the second knowingest know-it-all, and I discussed everything going on in last night's episode as we head into the final five. From here, you could check that out at robisawebsite.com. And then today, we've got some great podcasts coming up. I'm going to be talking with the winner of Survivor Micronesia, Parvati Shallow. Looking forward to that. I'm going to get her take on this season. I think there's some interesting parallels between some of her seasons and this one. We'll get to that on the recap show. And then on the voicemail show, Mike Bloom is going to be joining us on the podcast to answer your questions. Get your voicemails in for Mike and I at robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of those. Go to robiswebsite.com/iTunes or search for RHAP in your favorite podcatcher. Or, of course, there's the Rob's Podcast app where you can get everything. Post-show recaps, Rob's Podcast, reality TV wrap ups, all in one place at robiswebsite.com/app. All right, looks like we have Jason on the phone. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Jason, are you there?
Yo, yo.
Jason, good morning. How are you?
I'm not bad. How you doing, Rob?
Yeah, very excited. Looking forward to talking about the game with you. I got a million questions. Let me just jump right into this. So my big question coming out of last night's show was, why did you end up voting for Joe? It didn't seem like that there was any other traction from anybody else to get a vote for Joe to happen. Why Joe out of anybody?
Because that's who I felt like voting for. I knew my vote didn't matter. I knew the votes were coming to me. I knew Ty didn't have the numbers to pull something fancy on the show. So why should I get in line? Why should I just toe the line and do something that somebody else wants me to? I stay true to myself, and I vote out the person that I don't think should be there and that doesn't deserve to stay in the game longer than me. So I voted for Joe.
Was it personal with Joe, or you just didn't respect his gameplay?
I didn't respect his gameplay. I mean, I guess when it comes down to it, it's island personal, which we all know island life and real life is different. I like Joe outside the game. I really respect the guy. I respect his career. I respect him as a person outside the game. When it came to the game, I just didn't like how he played. We didn't get along. We bumped heads, which was seen a few times. Our personalities didn't mesh living on an island together.
Now, when Ty comes to you and says, hey, I really want to vote out Michelle, were you able to go back to the women and tell them what Ty was up to and potentially get something going with them?
No. One, he did it to me very late in the game. He didn't give me much time. Nobody would talk to me for those last 3 days.
Yeah,
I was isolated. I was left on an island. Literally, nobody would talk to me. So there's not much I could do. And my hopes were kind of screwed at that point, because if no one will entertain anything from you, what do you even know left in the game? What can you strategize? Who can you strategize with? You're really on your own. So
yeah,
why not do your own thing?
I thought you made a good point in, I believe it was in either your videos from the, you know, the day after stuff. And I think a little bit maybe in your secret scenes talking about how that you were, you talked so much at Tribal Council the episode before. You played really hard to, you know, keep it being you at the previous Tribal Council. And people came away from that saying, oh, Jason can really talk. Sydney has a secret scene where she talks about, you know, that guy can really talk. And I think that maybe that sort of flew in the face of you doing nothing at camp saying like, hey, I've given up, but you fought so hard at Tribal Council when you were talking about Ty. You know, he did it two times. And I think that that was really a big thing in people's minds. Did you realize that at the time that it happened?
I mean, I always knew I could talk well.
Yeah.
And I can command a crowd when need be. And I used Tribal constantly as my little podium to get my final thoughts in, to try and either secure what I had already set up or to try and change what somebody else set up and give me a better chance or give me a chance in general. I think my last Tribal, and I don't know, the last couple, it building up, I overplayed my hand and made them really see how good I am at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that that is a big threat. And when you add in what I can do in challenges and my strategic play that I've done, you throw in that, and he can control a tribal like no other, it made things even more difficult for me. And that's why I think I got iced out at the end of, they were afraid I could get inside someone's head and really say the right words to turn them. And I think that's what ultimately helped seal my fate.
What about Ty's advantage? You knew he had one. Did you have any sense of what it was?
I had no sense of what Ty's advantage was. We tried to figure it out, Scott and I, and tried to talk to him about it, but he really wanted to keep that secret and close to his chest for whatever reason. And we could tell that he was having his own personal feelings about being on the dark side, so we didn't want to push too much of, you need to tell us, Ty, you need to tell us. So we kind of, okay, you can have this. If you feel comfortable at another point to tell us, you can tell us. Because we didn't want to push him away. So we let him have that secret and just wondered and had to think worst case scenario what it might be. And it was hard not being like, Ty, just tell me what you got.
Right.
But you know you can't do that in that game at that moment. So we kind of just had to let it be. But we had no clue that it was an extra vote. And remember, the season that did first get the extra vote, we were filming, so we never saw that.
You don't need to remind me. I know. Yeah. So in terms of how things were with you and Ty at the point that you went out of the game, are you still really angry with Ty at the point that you got voted out?
No, not at all. I love Ty. I think he's a great person. He's such a sweet, natural person that it's really impressive, and I could never dislike the guy. I mean, it's his business at the end of the day. We're playing a game with money on the line. So why take it in your real life?
But what about in terms of to the point where you're heading into the jury and going to, like, are you still blaming him for what ultimately went wrong with you getting voted out of the game? Or are you more still upset with Sydney because she was the first person to flip away from you?
At this point, it's more of who's playing the best game for me.
Okay.
So far, I know gameplay was very important to me. Who played what game that I could see as the best?
Okay.
At the time.
So much was made this season about this idea of we're going to sabotage the camp because this is a move that we're going to make. In your mind, what was the strategic benefit of, you know, hiding the axe and the machete and putting out the fires around the camp?
I wanted to make things difficult. It was nothing personal. It was strategic for me. Why not make things difficult? I'm part of the group that's providing for you. I'm part of the group that's cooking for you. I'm part of the group that's finding the food and getting the firewood. So we're going to take all that away, and we're going to make it even harder for you to do that. You know, it was a play. It was a smart play for me, and it worked for me because it did advance me. It got me exactly what I wanted. Another 3 days in the game. It was smart, and I would do it again. I would do it today. Watching Scott put out that fire cracked me up. I loved it. I loved the play, you know? And thankfully, it was him doing it, not me. So I was just guilty by association.
But what did that cause by doing that?
What did that cause? It caused people to get angry. It caused them to start bickering with each other, keeping them weak, not giving them what they want. It broke Michelle, as we can see. She was so upset about it, devastated about it. And last episode, she still couldn't let it go. You know, it's part of the play, part of the game. And they act like, who would do that? That's so over the top. If you watch Survivor, you can see it's happened many times and much worse. It is a play. And I like it. And I think it was a great play.
Now, I don't have a moral issue with it in terms of playing in the game. But for Michelle, do you feel like that was something that she carried with her in terms of not wanting to work with you because she didn't like what you guys did to the camp?
In a sense, yes. Whether it was smart for her or not to carry that and let that be her deciding factor of who to work with, we'll see if that was smart or not. If you can't see that it's a play and we got what we wanted out of it, well, I'm sorry for you.
Now, you said in your day after videos that are up on the CBS website and on YouTube about how you look back at everything you did and you do everything the same way. You'd play the game the same way. But now that you've watched the episodes, is there anything that you think you should have done either strategically or socially different in your game?
I would do everything the same except one thing, and that would be I would hold on the idol for Scott. I'd still play it for the guy, but I would be the one holding on to it.
Sure. Obviously, hindsight 2020 on that. What was the thing that you were hoping for by giving it to him? Was it that if he was holding the idol, that maybe people wouldn't put votes on him?
I wanted, my biggest thing was make sure he feels comfortable going into this tribal. You know, Ty had an idol in his pocket. I got this necklace around, you know, and then there's that elephant in the room. Like, well, I know there's another one. And it could be me tonight. Here, you hold it. We're good. Don't even worry. We are all good. You know, you want to build that confidence for your team. And the confidence for your team is a big part of it. It makes them feel comfortable. Did we know Tyo was already confident in his new team? No, we didn't. But I wanted him to feel as safe as I felt. So to me, it was smart to let him hold it. Now I look at it. Farthest move.
Now, obviously, I think that you're aware of the negative reaction around all of this stuff with Alicia. Do you feel like that your side was misrepresented during all of the incidents with her?
Do I feel like my side was misrepresented? No, I love my edit. I love the way my story was told. I love how I was presented. It's very much me. I say it like I see it, and I don't hold anything back. And if we don't get along, you're going to know. Do I think I was a bad person or a bully? No, I think bully is the most overused word of the season. I don't think any action I did was over the top or you were mean or you mistreated women or you're a jerk. I don't see any of that. I played a hard, aggressive game. I always told exactly what I was going to do. And I followed through with everything. You know, when she finds the idol and walks away from it. Why would I not go and take it? I got the end of it. I found the map. I followed the map to the key. My guy got it out, and she and I both ran for it.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think's going to win that? Now, I give her all the props in the world. She took that and handled that like a champion, and good for her. She got right up on that, and hey, good job. You know, good job you too. She played a hard fighting game, and good for her for doing that. We just don't get along. But I got portrayed as a jerk because we didn't get along. There was as much coming my way as there was coming her.
Last couple of things. In the pregame, you talked about how Russell Hance is the only player who ever played the game correctly. Do you still believe that's the case, or is that idea flawed?
I mean, it's slightly not the case anymore because I think I played the game the best. And he's solid number two.
I noticed. Yeah.
I still love the way Russell played. I love the way I played. I like the hard, aggressive game. I love the villains. You know, villains can win. It's happened many times. Tony's won. I mean, even who was just on your podcast the other day, the infamous Mr. Tyson.
Tyson.
I'm sorry, but in a lot of ways, Tyson, he's a villain. He'll walk in your camp and eat all your food just because he can. He's a coconut bandit.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bad guy move, and he still won. I love the villain.
You know, we got to learn a lot about your family during the season. How did your daughter react to getting to see you with all those animals at the sanctuary last night?
I mean, they both loved it. The oldest thought me getting beat up by a monkey was probably the greatest thing in the world. And Chloe was just pumped to see them elephants and see her dad and feeding them. It was nice. It was a good moment.
I also really enjoyed the stories about your dad and the experience that you had watching the show from the Ponderosa videos, which I think people should check out if they haven't had a chance to see that. Last thing, Jason, for you in terms of playing Survivor again, you made no secret about how much you love the game. Would you be interested in a return to Survivor, or are you one and done?
I think the better question is, would Survivor ever have me back?
What do you think?
And when they make that decision, you know, I'll be sure to be in talks with them.
All right. Well, you know, I do think it was a fun season, and you guys were definitely a part of that. So good job on the show, and all the best, okay?
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you, Rob.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. There's Sarge, Kyle, Jason here on the podcast, and it's definitely some good stuff from him today in terms of how he's feeling about his game, and still feeling very good. And I do think that that's going to be an interesting question, but obviously he wants to come back. Does Survivor want him back? I guess we will find out over the next couple of years. But somebody who definitely did create a lot of drama throughout this season of the show. All right, let's get into going back into the calendar and seeing what was happening on this very week in Survivor history with our good friend Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, what's up?
Oh, Jordan, very pumped up about this Survivor season.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's been a lot of fun. Great characters, great moments that we'll be talking about, I'm sure, for years to come.
What a time to be a Survivor podcaster.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm constantly thinking about this. Like, I'm constantly listening to your podcast. It's like, it feels like it's maybe, what, do you do like 12 Survivor podcasts a week or something? It feels like that.
Yeah.
So always something to listen to when I'm driving to and from work.
You know, those were the days to be podcasting during Survivor Redemption Island, Survivor One World, Survivor South Pacific. Nobody else wanted to talk about this show back then.
No, but the good thing is there. I mean, if you're able to make a podcast about One World interesting, that's just going to, you know, build up your skills to the point that you're at now.
Yeah, we have to cut our teeth during all those boring seasons. All right. That's why we're ready to go now. Okay, so Jordan, we're going to go back and talk about things happening on This Week in Survivor History. Of course, This Week in Survivor History is sponsored by our friends over at Casper Mattress. Boy, it did seem as though a lot of the survivors this week looked as though they could have used a good night's sleep on a Casper mattress. Maybe Joe might be able to spell immunity after a night's rest on a wonderful Casper mattress.
Yeah, I think the longest word that he was going to be able to spell in that challenge was unity.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to spell out Casper, and it's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price because it combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce, just like Sydney's rope. You know, she added like a perfectly where it's not pulling too hard, not too soft that it's going to let all the blocks fall over. That's like the perfect combination. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. And it's only 2015, 2016. Amazing.
And you want to be my latex salesman?
Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. You can even try out a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. And if you don't love it, they're going to pick it up and refund you everything.
They're going to love it, though. Don't even worry about that. You'll love it.
Don't worry. It's made in America. So check this out. Go ahead and get $50 off your Casper mattress at casper.com/Rob with the promo code Rob. That's casper.com/Rob, promo code Rob. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead and check that out. Try it. I sleep on one. You'll love it too. All right, Jordan, let's get into everything going on with This Week in Survivor History. Where do you want to go to?
All right. So we have an eye on Mother's Day, of course, being that Mother's Day is next Sunday. So we're going to take you to Survivor Amazon.
Yes.
May 1st, 2003. This is 13 years ago this past Sunday. And this is the episode with the family visit.
Yes. Well, I remember this well. And I was talking about this the other day on the Patreon cast, I think. Where Nicole and I just celebrated our 13-year anniversary. Maybe, I lose track of what I'm talking about on podcasts and what I'm talking about in real life. Maybe it was Nicole and I went out to dinner and I was talking about this. I think that's what it was.
We're getting into This Week in the Sesternino family.
People are going to be very worried about my memory after this podcast.
Yeah, and I got to say,
let alone memory foam.
I missed the patron cast this week, and I didn't hear you tell the story, so it's very possible it was on the patron cast. So what were you talking about with Nicole about this family
because
visit?
Nicole and my dating anniversary is May 1st, and I said, oh, that time that I really got one over on Christy, that was when you said, oh, this is the guy that I need to be spending all of my time with.
Why did Nicole not like Christy?
No, she had no feeling about Christy, but, you know, there was that Christy was, you know, a lot of people really did like Christy and then did not like how she was voted out unceremoniously there at the final six.
Well, you know, we'll get into this in a bit, but it was sort of her fault.
Yes. Well, I know that, but for Nicole, it was not anything that said maybe this is not the kind of person I should be dating.
So back in the day when Nicole was a casual viewer, she would have been one of these people on the Survivor Facebook group.
Perhaps. So let's all be happy there was no Survivor Facebook group that night.
But so anyway, there's a challenge in this episode. Of course, it's a reward challenge. There's some rowing. There's some trivia. There's a puzzle at the end. And you actually come in second in this challenge, but Matt Von Erdfeld finishes before you on
so
the puzzle.
Close. It was really neck and neck.
Oh, yeah. Really, really, really neck and neck. I think you took the puzzle pieces out of your bag when maybe he had like one left or two left or something.
It's really edited to be a lot closer than I think it actually was.
It is. They make it seem close, but you can see when you get to the puzzle, he's hey, basically done. And no offense.
Technically, that is a second place finish. I think I had a lot of second place finishes than that.
Yeah. And,
right there. Well,
and one third place finish. But, you know, this.
How dare you?
No, you did well on this challenge. I think this is just something that is one of these things that Matt is just good at. He's an outdoorsy guy. So he wins the challenge, and Jeff actually gives him a choice. He can give up his reward with his family member for the rest of the five of you to have your family members, which he does.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that he is offered. Do you want to see your loved one or let everybody else have one? And as I said in the episode, like he's really going to pick, oh, I'm going to screw everybody. And not only I'm going to get to see my loved one. Sorry. No, nobody's going to do that.
Unless you're Cindy Hall and it's a car. But Matt Von Erdfeld gives you guys your family members. So what would you, was it really cool when you first saw your mom come out there?
Yeah, we did not know that everybody was there because I think that they had done that in Survivor Marquesas where they brought everybody, but it wasn't a thing where, you know, so many seasons had happened where you saw that they were going to do that. So I had seen one season where they did that, but they told us they were going to fly out whoever was like on standby to come out and whatever. But to me, it wasn't like where I needed to do it. It was like, okay, I needed to see my mom or I wasn't going to make it through the game. And so I was fine with, you know, potentially not being the person who was going to win that. But then they started bringing everybody out. And then it meant so much to me because I knew how many flights it was to get to that point of, you know, flying into the Amazon. And just the fact that like, hey, bring out this person. And Rob, here's your mom, Roseanne. And it was a really big, big deal, a very emotional moment. Because for me, it was just about that, not necessarily to, I needed to see my mom, but I just wanted to let my mom know that I was okay. It was just very hard to be disconnected from your family for that long. And it's like, you know, that they're worried about you too. And I used to just like dream a lot when I was out there as a Survivor, and I would often dream that I was like, hey guys, I'm okay. Just so if you're worried about me, I'm okay. So it was really amazing just to get to see my mom in that moment.
So you get to have this, you know, this 10-minute picnic with you and all the
other. It was longer than 10 minutes, but
Jeff said it was 10 minutes. But then, of course, you know, they're never really going to do this on Survivor. Whenever you give up your reward for your family members, and they kind of do this with Taj and Eddie George in Survivor Token Sheens, Matt gets his reward with his mom. And he actually gets to go to this this Amazonian village overnight. And it's a pretty awkward dinner. I mean, you know, Matt's kind of, you know, he's sort of a strange character. And his mom's even telling him not to be so formal when he's having dinner with her at this ceremony.
Yeah, Steven likes to always mention the part where Matt says that he felt like he was God when he got to give the family visits to all of us.
He did say that. He did say he felt like God.
Yeah. I mean, for Matt, he got to have a nice dinner with his mom. He says that they have sort of an unusual relationship, and I don't want to. That's for really Matt and his mom to discuss. I don't want to pile on their family visit any more than I might have already done in 2003.
Now, don't you think that his mom sort of looks like the female president on 24? That's what I thought when I was watching the episode today.
I'd have to go back and take a look. And that thought had not ever occurred to me.
It hadn't occurred to me until my latest rewatch. But I mean, when I first saw her, I was like, oh my God, that really looks like, I forgot her name too. It's been a while since I saw that season of 24. But she really looks like her.
Yeah. President Taylor.
I guess. I think she's also in the West Wing. I'm pretty sure she plays some senator
played by
in the West
Cherry
Wing.
Jones.
Yeah, Cherry Von Erdfelde.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's not go too far down this road, George. Tread lightly here. Tread lightly.
So my favorite part, though, of actually more interesting than Matt's family visit is when you guys are back at camp and drunk Butch, which is the best thing ever. He's, you know, he's throwing up by the shelter. You're
right.
Really drunk confessionals too, by the way.
Butch is throwing up.
Yes. You drunk Butch is throwing up. Drunk Rob is just giving confessionals saying that the whole thing's like a rat video, which I was a little bit confused about. I've never seen a rat video where Butch is dancing and throwing up.
Okay. Well, expand your universe, Jordan.
That's a good point. But this episode, so now to segue from the Mother's Day stuff, which obviously is relevant to this week in world history, that's since we're all going to be celebrating Mother's Day. This is really a great episode of Survivor. I mean, it all starts when, you know, Jenna and Heidi are pissed off at you because you had just blindsided Alex. And they're really, like, you know, in confessionals and to each other. They always have, like, these sort of, these weren't actually dual confessionals, but it's just them on camera sulking in the shelter saying that they hate you and they won't ever forgive you. And at least Jenna seems, you know, in her podcasting relationship with you, it seems like she's forgiven you at this point, right?
I think winning the show is a pretty good tonic for anything that might have pissed you off during the game.
Hey, she said she won't ever forgive you. I have to hold her to that.
Yeah, they forgave me 3 days later.
And there's really a lot of talk in this episode of them saying, you know, you play the game up until a point, but they would never actually screw over anyone that they love. And you're saying, you know, you're doing your best game move. And it's really amazing. Like, this is 32 days and you weren't even with them the whole time. And they all love each other. So it's kind of, they're taking it very personally. And then of course, they're trying to now get Christy on their side.
Hey, Jordan, in fairness to Heidi and Jenna, you know, winning the game is one thing, but, you know, friendships do last forever.
Especially when you want to start a Sonic together?
That's another story for another day.
But so, you know, they're down in the numbers 4-2. So the only thing that they could really try to do is get Christy on their side, at least from what they think. Of course, Christy will end up getting voted out in this episode. But Christy seems to see right through it. You know, she has this scene where you're talking to her and, you know, you're telling her that they've been, you know, like shit talking her. And then you guys kind of do this thing where you spit in each other's hands and shake, which is kind of nasty, but I guess it solidifies the four-person alliance for the next 2 days.
Well, that's what I thought, but then she was being very wishy-washy. I mean, you say she saw right through it, but then she was like, yeah, but they're giving me a better deal.
Yeah, it's really, and this is, you know, after the immunity challenge, why did she give you any, like, did you ever talk to her after the game of why she couldn't give you a straight answer? Because she seemed to really want one of those two to go, one of the evil stepsisters, but she is, you know, completely going back and forth in your conversation with her in the woods.
Yeah. Well, she's saying that, yeah, but they're telling me top three. And I'm like,
top three, baby.
Yeah, but, you know, you hate them. And you know, I should have said to her, well, you know, I can look back now and, you know, I can also, you know, pick apart my own game too and say, like, yeah, but we'll go to the final too. But I think I felt like I didn't want to, for whatever reason, I felt like, you know, I didn't want to lie to Christy. I think that in that instance, you know, kind of like what Steve and I were saying on the Survivor Know-It-Alls of, like, that's somebody that the audience would say, oh, that person will definitely win if they get to the end. But I don't know if she necessarily would have won with that jury. So I think that she would not have been a bad person to keep around. But I did feel like that, you know, go to the end with Matt. And then it was very simple for me, but I could have said, hey, let's go to the final two. And if you screw Christy over at that point. But I did feel like that maybe I was working with such a tight margin that I felt like I needed to win all of those votes, because I felt like that Heidi and Jenna and Alex on the jury, that was already three people that didn't like me. So maybe I felt like I didn't want to screw over Christy really bad and promise her final two and then not vote for her. I would have lost. You know, I didn't have four votes anymore. But that's why the decision to vote with Heidi and Jenna made so much sense. I'm like, ooh, like maybe they'll vote for me again in the finals now that I sort of hooked them up.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't think it's a bad move that you made for that reason.
Thank you, Jordan.
You're welcome. For the two reasons that, you know, Christy isn't giving you a straight answer, you know, you don't want to have to force a tie and risk that you or someone else in your alliance goes. And then there's also the whole jury thing that you brought up, where you might not have you might not have Jenna and Heidi voting for you. Alex might still be mad. So that would be, you know, that's four votes right there where somebody could have been potentially able to beat you at the end. I don't know if that would have necessarily happened, but I could see why you would be thinking that in the moment, especially based on how mad. I mean, there's the whole argument that you have where you say, feel free to write ROB if you don't like how I'm playing.
That's right.
So, you know, the whole feeling against you for those few days couldn't have been very settling.
I said, I need a carton of cigarettes. I need vodka. Maalox. Yeah, it was very, very harrowing.
Scary times in the Amazon, almost as scary as the fire that would happen one episode later. But this tribal council that you guys go to is pretty crazy. You know, Christy gives a couple quotes in this episode where she at tribal council, she says, I am in the driver's seat. I'll make the final decision, which of course is a clue to anyone who follows the editing that she's probably going to be the one going home. And this is, of course, where Jenna is talking about her looks being a liability. And you say that you're lucky you weren't born handsome because you don't have any handicaps in the way that Jenna does.
Well, look,
I told you this is a big episode for you, Rob.
Stand by what I said, yes.
And I think we really needed to have the Survivor Know-It-Alls after this to break this episode down and to say, did Rob make the right move by getting rid of Christy, or should he have gotten rid of Jenna, who for some reason gave her immunity necklace to Heidi?
Yes, yes.
And you know, I really see like why, you know, she's basically giving up if you guys don't decide to vote out Christy. I really see why in the next episode that you decide that Heidi's the bigger threat and you want to get rid of her, because Jenna, she's almost giving up here, where if you guys decide not to vote out Christy to go with the original plan, she's going home.
Jordan, sometimes, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men, you know, look like it all looks good on paper.
The best laid plans of snakes and rats.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else in Survivor history you want to touch on this week?
You know, this was a jam-packed episode. We wanted to talk about all the Mother's Day stuff, and we basically covered this whole thing here. So this is actually the only episode for this week. Loaded with Survivor Amazon.
Well, happy Mother's Day to Mrs. Kalish, that she's been out to the Live Know-It-Alls shows a couple of times, and she seems like a wonderful lady, so please say happy Mother's Day to your mom, too, this week.
I will, and say happy Mother's Day to Roseanne Sesternino.
I will.
Hero of Survivor the Amazon.
Yes. And my favorite part from that whole thing was when I told my mom that I said, Mom, I really did a bad thing. Like, you know, I think I screwed everybody over last night. And she's like,
yeah, you tell her you've been really bad.
Yeah. She did not like, oh, come on, why did you do that? She's like, okay, good work. All right, well, Jordan, thank you so much. All the best to you, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care, buddy.
You too. Have a nice day. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish. All right, so I'm going to segue to get ready for my Parvati interview coming up here in a little bit, and then, of course, the voicemails with Mike Bloom. Speaking of blooms, if you want to pick up 100 blooms for Mom, today is the last day that you can get in on the Pro Flowers deal, 100 blooms for Mom for $19.99 and a glass vase. You could do that at proflowers.com by clicking on the blue microphone at the top and using our promo code REALITYTV. That's Reality Space TV, 100 blooms for Mom. And I will speak with the one and only Mike Bloom later on today on the voicemail show. Looking forward to reading what your comments are in the exit interview on robinswebsite.com, and should be good. Talk to you later. Take care, everybody. Bye.